Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mayfield from his own 30 on 2nd and 10. Turns, gives, Chubb runs. 30, 35, there he goes. 40, 35, 50, there he goes. 40, he's right into the river. 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown, Nick Chubb.
Is he in the river yet?
He's in the river.
Is it better to be in the river or living in a van down by the river?
Good one. Very
good. Depends on what river it is.
Well, it does. You're right. I mean, I would rather not be in any river, no, and I'd rather be in a van living down by the river.
Now, wait a minute. You got upset with me yesterday when I started talking about bodies in the East River, bodies in the Hudson River. I assume that you will be swimming in neither of those bodies of water.
No, I will not. Definitely not. Growing up here in the tri-state area, East River, negative Ghost Rider, Hudson River. I mean, there's been so many stories about things and a lot of different things and bodies and people being dumped into those. So I won't be going on any casual swims through there. Sorry, no.
And it wasn't the Cuyahoga River on Sunday for Nick Chubb. It was the Ohio River because they were in Cincinnati.
Or Ohio, yes.
Yeah. Yes. We had a creek in my neighborhood that was basically a mini river, and it would flood. So I'm not a big fan of rivers or rivers flooding, and that's all the river talk we're going to have during this two-hour edition Football Talk Live.
But like that, like definitely one of the all-time great Saturday Night Live moments right there. Though. You can't just brush
absolutely.
That over, right? One of the all-time greats.
No, I'm not brushing it over. I brought it up. Living in a van down by the river.
Oh, I love it. Chris Farley.
Matt Foley.
Classic.
Motivational speaker. And inevitably taking out the coffee table.
Yes, exactly. That's what he did. He did that very well.
Okay. By the way, I'm going to have full transparency with the injury report, unlike the NFL. I bit my tongue eating an apple yesterday, and it's bothering me.
Huh.
It's making it difficult to talk. I'm conscious of the spot on the end of my tongue that I bit while eating an apple. Now, 56 years of eating practice would presumably get the human animal to the point where he or she does not bite his or her tongue while eating an apple. I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
It happens. I don't know what to tell you. I tend to like get my cheek every now and then. I don't know how I do that. And I feel like once I do it, I'm going to do it again sometime in the next 3 or 4 days. So that's where it's like, then it becomes irritated and it sticks out, or in your case, it's a little swollen and you're in danger of biting on it again. So hey, way to play injured today, man. You're tough.
Yes.
Way to go. Way to suck
it up.
Well,
when you speak for a living, you
it
need
is
your
kind
tongue.
Kind of a deal. Yes, it is.
Kind of an important thing. Yeah. And I also will say this, because I've been eating a lot of apples. I get a annual physical every year. My cholesterol was up a little bit. So ice cream out, apples in. The apple slicer, the very it's the most impressive invention in the history of mankind, other than the wheel. You pop the thing down, you waste none of the apple, because, you know, when you're chewing on an apple, you never know quite when to stop, and you always miss some at the top and the bottom because you don't want to have to navigate or, you know, have the stem poke you in the eye or something like that. When you slam that thing down, you get yourself 10 perfect pieces of apple. Every once in a while, you got to trim out a little seed. Every once in a while, it's not right. Mother Nature doesn't make a perfect apple all the time.
Right.
But it's just great. It's great. I love it. I want to know who invented the apple slicer, because, again, you got wheel number one and distant number two, apple slicer.
Wow. That's a new one for me in the top five invention list right there.
Forget about all the technological advancements we've had over the years. Forget about anything like more recent. Or the
I don't even know
now.
If
the
I know what an apple slicer looks like. Like, what do you mean? Like, the apple slicer we have in our house is called the knife, and we just slice it up.
No. There's a thing that it's got a little mini handle on each side.
Oh, okay.
It's round in the middle, and it's got all the pieces, and you put the core right in there, and you just pop it down, and you've got your beautiful array of apples.
Great. So that's good.
You don't have one?
I don't have one.
You know what? For Christmas,
I don't really.
I'm sure it's cheap.
Don't. Well, maybe my family will use it. I don't really eat fruit. I really don't. Apples about the only fruit I will mess with. And I don't do it often.
So you do eat apples?
I do eat apples. I do. How do you like them apples? I do. But like more or less, like if my kids got it, then I might take a bite. It's not like one that I will eat by myself. Like I'm not like,
Wait. Right. Your kid, while your kid's mouth is on the apple, eating the apple,
right.
Just say,
no,
give
usually
me the apple,
sliced
let me take a bite
usually
off of your apple.
Sliced up, right?
Okay. I'm just
and
sure.
I don't care if they did eat it the other way, what you're talking about either. Maybe, you know, I'm not afraid of getting my kids germs and eating the same apple. I don't care about that. I don't know what that is. I guess that's my fatherly instinct there.
Well, that's true. I mean, you made them, so their germs are your germs.
Right,
although
I think
once they are in school, they bring home everybody else's germs too.
Yes,
all right.
They do.
Now that we have wasted 5 minutes that neither we nor you will ever get back. Good morning. It's PFT Live. Live on Peacock and Sirius XM 85, hashtag the Ocho Cinco. We also are on NBCSN for as long as NBCSN survives. It's going away at the end of the year, if you hadn't already heard. So make your plans accordingly to watch PFT Live elsewhere, starting on January 1. If you're currently watching on NBCSN, the 9 a.m. Re-air, Sky Sports, 7 o'clock, prime time, and the podcast, wherever you can get your podcast. Hello to our friends in the UK and Ireland. They get upset a little bit, just a little bit, if we go up, and not upset mad, just upset like hurt, like, hey, did you forget about us? We haven't forgotten about you.
Right.
We love you, and hello, and hello to everybody else, too. And then we start getting, well, what about us in Canada? Look, we're on Sky Sports. They specifically get special treatment. Yes, we're giving them special treatment. We admit it. But we love everybody who takes the time to listen to a couple of dumbasses talk about football every day for 2 hours. If you invest, let's say, more than 30 minutes a day, we don't expect you to watch all 2 hours. If you do, even better. But I'll say the cutoff is, if you listen to 30 minutes of the stupidity that we routinely spew out into the world,
how dare
we
you
love
say
you.
That about me?
We love
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
What? No, yeah. I'm including myself in it because, as we've demonstrated, you have made me dumber.
Thank you.
I share in your stupidity.
Good. That's good. I'm waiting for your smartness to rub off on me, please.
Speaking of stupidity, the National Football League.
What a transition.
To
let it go.
The punishment imposed upon the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and Alan Lazard. And I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. I heard last night, going about my business, doing my work, copy-paste, snarky comment, and somebody said, hey, Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard got fined $14,650 for attending the Halloween party. It's like, okay, well, that's it? What else? What else? How many other fines for Aaron Rodgers? Well, I think that's it. Look into it. So I started looking into it, and I reached out to everybody involved, agents, league, team,
and it was silence for like 45 minutes. Like, this is weird. Usually somebody gets back to me and says no comment or answers the question, whatever. It was weird to have collective silence for that long. And then all of a sudden, boom, there was a report from ESPN.com. $300,000 fine for the Green Bay Packers. $14,650 for Rodgers. $14,650 for Lazard. And all they were being punished for was attending the Halloween party. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether or not they were wearing masks. Under the protocol, they're not allowed to go to a gathering of more than three people, more than three teammates, while they're unvaccinated. Positive, not positive. Quarantine, not quarantine. Doesn't matter. Just being there. Even if he had a mask on. John Wick, Slippery Pete, Aaron Rodgers. That's a violation. Just being there is a violation. That's how blatant it was. So, Chris, here's what's confusing. And there are teams that are pissed.
I would bet.
Are they pissed?
I would bet.
Because here's what Aaron Rodgers did. And the Packers let him do it.
Yeah.
Blatantly violate twice a week for the press conferences. And nobody else knew. We didn't know. We thought the guy was vaccinated because he said so. And no punishment for any of that. Just for the Halloween party. It is bizarre, it is confusing, and it is causing people to think that the Packers are getting special treatment. And when you look at the numbers involved, and the league acknowledged, I got a full explanation from the league about where the violations were, et cetera. And they said, of course he should be wearing a mask at these press conferences. Okay, why isn't he being fined for it? It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
No sense whatsoever.
No, none of it does. It does not. I mean, it's weak. I don't know what else to say. It's weak sauce. I mean, forget the press conferences like we've talked about. It should be on the sidelines. It's been a weekly thing. $14,000 for, you know, these type of egregious errors and basically in-your-face NFL mistakes. I'll do what I want. I'm shocked that the NFL, this is like one thing they're usually, I feel like, pretty strict on and kind of put the hammer down. Like, no, you don't mess with the shield. You don't mess with our rules, you know. And I when I first saw these numbers, yeah, I thought that, okay, wait, we're going to see more come out, right? There's going to be more. There's going to be another season fine for not the Halloween party, correct? But it doesn't sound like it's going that way. I'm amazed. I really am. And if I was on another team or another quarterback or a guy that was, you know, unvaccinated and I've been wearing my mask and doing all the protocols the right way, I don't know. On a day like today, I might go, if I was making a lot of money, I might go, screw the mask. Screw it. I'll take the $14,000 fine. I don't know. It's just, it's a bad look. I probably wouldn't do that. I would still follow the rules. But I am very, very shocked by the weak sauce there that the NFL laid out.
And the problem is the way the NFL constructed this. Somebody very smart explained to me the other night that the league should have had a COVID compliance officer with every team, because you can't expect the team to chase these guys around, especially
the Aaron Rodgers,
guys as to whom they are tiptoeing on eggshells. Mm-hmm. It's the old Jimmy Johnson explanation. Guy falls asleep in a meeting, he gets cut. Troy Aikman falls asleep in a meeting, he gets a pillow.
Sure.
There are going to be certain guys on every team that the league is going to look the other way for if they are the ones who are expected to enforce the protocol. Why in the world is the league expected to enforce the protocol? Somebody said to me last week, that's like expecting the league to find the coach who criticizes officiating after a game. What team is going to do that? The league does it. And the league should have been the one that was enforcing these protocols.
100%.
And I think that
they're embarrassed, aren't they?
Well, it's either favoritism, and I've had people say, boy, I'd love to see the emails between Jeff Pasch and Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers.
Right.
And that goes back to last month's Jeff Pasch, Bruce Allen e-pen pal exchange.
Yeah.
Are they getting favorable treatment from the league while other teams get hammered for COVID protocol violations? We'll go over some of the ones from last year that were inconsistently enforced because others were violating it too, but only some were selected for punishment. But the idea that the league was asleep at the switch and is covering up its mess, because we all knew he wasn't wearing a mask. The league can say, we don't have the time or the resources to study every camera in 32 NFL facilities to see if any of the unvaccinated players are walking by without a mask on or are in the meeting room without a mask on. We don't have the time, the resources, or the desire to do that. Okay, fine. But when Aaron Rodgers is continuously showing up for press conferences in the building without a mask on, and you know, nobody else does, but you know he's not vaccinated, how do you do nothing about it? The team did nothing about it for obvious reasons. The league did nothing about it for unknown reasons. And I think one of the reasons why everyone's kind of getting a break here, they just want it to go away.
No doubt.
They don't want any appeals.
No doubt.
They don't want any hearings.
Right.
They don't want any big messes.
They know they look stupid here.
And it would be great if somebody appealed one of these fines, because maybe through the appeal process, we drill down a little bit on what the hell happened.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, that's what it does look like right now. Yeah, let's just, you know, make it a soft number. People like us will talk about it for a little while, and, you know, it'll go away by the end of the week. Yeah, but it's a bad look for them. It is, of course. It shows favoritism or, you know, negligence. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, not having, you know, a backbone here to, you know, make a strong stance, make a statement for the rest of the league, the rest of the players, of course, who are following rules. And it looks like, yeah, they fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. I mean, there's still cameras in every facility, right? I mean, this is not a hard thing to do either way. But to your point, it's like this was like a slap in the face, like for the last 8 weeks of the year. Like, screw you. I'll make my own rules. I don't like wearing a mask. Screw you, NFL. And that's where I'm surprised. That's where I just can't believe the NFL has come down this week. And, Mike, here's another question I want to ask you. I know we're going to talk about it in a second, but last year, of course, the numbers were way bigger and way more aggressive as far as when you broke protocols. Was there a new agreement in place that I don't remember with the NFLPA about the fines this year? I'm just asking you that because that's the one thing I'm curious about, and I don't remember hearing that or reading that. But there was no new, protocol or agreed-on fine, system.
No, you're right. I got an answer for you.
You do? Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. There were more protocols to violate last year.
Yeah.
There were more ways you could get in trouble last year because last year all the coaches had to wear masks on the sidelines during games.
Yeah.
Remember how laughable it was? All the noses we saw sticking out of masks. Like, okay, do you understand just the basic physics of restricting your breathing? Like, having it just over your mouth is no different than having it just over your nose. You've got two different pathways. But they were aggressive about that because that was a rule. And they were selective about it. They were selectively aggressive about it. When we had that weekend where multiple teams and coaches were fined $100,000 for the coaches, $250,000 for the teams. Now, some of those got waived, but I remember it was John Gruden, Sean Payton,
Shanahan,
Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan,
right? Yeah.
But there were others who were doing it. I remember saying, these aren't the only ones.
Right, no, there was a
lot. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why did they just pick out five? And people see that inconsistency and they say, what the hell? Why aren't the rules consistently and fairly enforced as to everyone? The Saints ultimately lost a 2022 sixth-round draft pick. They had a maskless locker room celebration where you're allowed to do that this year. Last year, you weren't allowed to do it. It was easier to spot it, but others did things like that too, and you didn't hear that they got fined or lost draft picks, and it was just this haphazard approach where we're going to periodically whack someone to send a message even if we are not being consistent. So to clearly answer your question, there are fewer penalties this year because there are fewer ways to get yourself into trouble. And it only applies to unvaccinated players. And what is it, 6% of all players are unvaccinated? And I would say most of them are following the protocols because most of them are not the delicate genius around who their team tiptoes and doesn't want to piss off in any way by saying, Hey, Aaron, you better wear your mask. Hey, Aaron, we have to fine you. I know you really don't like us right now, and you thought about retiring, and you wanted to be traded, and we kind of told you we were going to trade you, and then we didn't, and you want to leave after the season, and we'd like to hold this relationship, this very fragile, tenuous relationship, together as best we can, but here's a fine for $14,650 for not wearing a mask yesterday to your press conference. Are you kidding me? They were never going to do that.
No, I mean... It just continues the, the ongoing NFL stance of it just looks like we're throwing a dart at a dartboard, and it just like we're going by the, you know, the seat of our pants with some of these issues lately. I mean, again, there was a time where I felt like the NFL was extremely consistent. You know, they were extremely tough, yes, but it was extremely consistent, and you knew what to expect. I don't know what to expect from them anymore. And I guess where I get down to this, and I'm almost like a little surprised maybe the NFLPA has not gotten involved in this, because, you know, they are about protection of players, right? And, you know, we see teams get fined or lose draft picks every year in the offseason because an OTA practice was too hard. It was too physical. They practiced too hard. But then here, we're going to disrespect the deadly virus, deadliest virus all of us have seen in our lifetime, and we're just going to go, well, that's okay. That one, fine, no problem. That, to me, is where I don't get it. And again, I'm not trying to like be on my high horse or anything there, but just seems inconsistent, you know, throughout the NFL with some of these standards as of late. And especially with this one, again, it's, I know, a hot button topic. It seems like maybe that's why they didn't want to confront Rodgers over this. Maybe they thought it would become a political issue, and that's why they stopped at it. But I am.
Nah, don't give him that much credit.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I'm just throwing it around. I'm just can't believe it. Right.
And it wasn't on the radar screen that this was somebody that Jeff Pasch and his minions wanted to harass and harangue. If it had been the Patriots or the Saints or maybe the Raiders, they would have gone after them. But they didn't go after the Green Bay Packers, even though they should have. They knew. We all knew he was not masked at these press conferences. And they knew he wasn't vaccinated, and he got punished for none of them. And somebody said, and look, I should have seen this coming when the league took the position that repeat violations in the protocol doesn't mean multiple. It just means you've been disciplined once and you do it again. And somebody said to me last night, well, think of it this way. If you're shoplifting twice a week, every week for 10 weeks, and they finally figure out and catch you shoplifting on all the times you shoplifted,
yes,
you don't just get in trouble for the last time,
exactly,
or for one time.
Right.
You're in trouble for all the time.
Yes. I think that's the perfect example. That's where I don't get it either. I don't. You know, again, everything else in the NFL is like that. I mean, uniform violations. You don't show enough green in your sock, you get suspended every week. I mean, not suspended, fined every week. And it continues to go up.
Because the league does it.
I know, the team was expected
to do it. It wouldn't happen.
Well, you're right. It wouldn't. To me, that part of it too is ridiculous. It goes back into the "we're the NFL and we're cheap" the category. That's where it goes into. Like the team is supposed to look at it. Is it the shield or not? I don't understand. So now it's the team. Now it's the shield, and then it's the league, and we're worried about the league and the bigger picture. No, now it's back to the team. It's on you guys. They're all over the place with that messaging.
And the protocol makes it clear the league's got the authority. The league's position is it's for the team to do it. The league's got the authority to implement the fines, and the league should be the one doing it. And they have the resources to have a COVID compliance officer at every team. When you can pay the owner's public pincushion, $64 million a year, you can afford to hire someone for 4 months or 6 months or however long the season is, start to finish, to be in the building making sure that there's full compliance with the COVID protocols. Otherwise, it looks like it's just words on paper and you really don't give a crap. You're just doing it so it looks like you're doing your part to prevent the potential spread of COVID when you've kind of got to the point where you're numb to it like everyone else. We just don't really care anymore. We just have these protocols because we have to. We're not really going to enforce them.
Yeah.
That's the impression that the league has created.
100%. 100%.
Because look at it, Chris, if he had never tested positive, if he had gone the whole season without testing positive, he would have violated
the rules the whole year.
He would have violated the protocol 50 times.
Right.
At least. Kalen Kaler of the Defector has a photo that somebody from Green Bay sent of Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Randall Cobb, and others at an axe-throwing bar on October 15. That's the kind of thing that an unvaccinated Rodgers should not be doing, with or without a mask. And obviously, there's no mask on Aaron Rodgers while he's there. How many other things are like that? Did they sit down with Aaron Rodgers and say, tell us all the times you went out to gatherings this season of three or more? Did they go after him as aggressively as they went after Tom Brady when it was found that Tom Brady's footballs, incorrectly was found that Tom Brady's footballs were 2 pounds under the limit during the AFC Championship game 6 years ago? Hell no.
No.
But that's because the more aggressive you are about fleshing this out, the more inept you look for not being awake at the switch.
Yeah,
they were asleep at the switch, and they don't want anyone to realize how asleep they were.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. You know, it's better to look, you know, I guess they don't want to look incompetent, right? So that's why it's a soft fine here. But like, Mike, here's to my point, and I know one's a league thing or whatever, but it doesn't seem right, all right? Because our man Pete, you know, he's listening and he looks some stuff up. Pete Demolitis. But CeeDee Lamb got fined $15,000 this week for not tucking in his jersey. Not tucking in his jersey. I mean, that to me is where it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's just not a good look. I guess that's all I'm trying to say. Again, going to break the rules every week, do what I want twice a week. I mean, at least twice a week, really. I mean, we're being kind by saying twice a week. And again,
there's two a week that we know about.
Exactly right. And then, like, I'm not trying to sit here and be goody two shoes or anything like that. But again, what I'm trying to do is say it's not fair. That's all it is when it comes down to it. There's so many people within the league, players, coaches, everything. They follow rules to a T out of respect for the league. And that's where it's just, it's unfortunate. And I think by going weak here, there's going to be unintended consequences, because I think you're going to see players maybe speak out or people speak out and go, well, he only got this, so why should I get any more? And you might see this brought up as an example as we go on through the season when somebody does get, you know, harshly fined for something stupid.
If it happens. As it relates to the COVID protocols. For the other violations, maybe you'll have some people point that out, or maybe Wednesday's a big press conference day. Maybe there'll be some coaches and quarterbacks asked for their thoughts on it, and maybe they'll stay away from it. I don't know. I know I heard from a lot of pissed off people last night. Now, they obviously aren't going to attach their name to it because they don't want the unblinking red eye of the league office to focus on them. But there are people who are upset, and they've used some strong language, the kind of language Chris uses, you know, all the time.
All the time.
For and all reasons. Yeah. One more thing about the fine imposed on the Packers. Let's make sure we put this in context. That $300,000, first of all, it's a drop in the bucket for a billion-dollar company.
Jeez.
But even more importantly, this isn't coming out of anybody's pocket.
No.
This is coming off the balance sheet of a publicly owned corporation. Big freaking deal.
Yes.
Oh, well, $300,000. Well, where are we going to find that? Well, we just move some money around. It's part of the budget. Nobody in Green Bay in the Packers organization is going to lose a penny over this, because if the board of directors is upset with Mark Murphy, all Mark Murphy has to say is, hey, folks, look, we're tiptoeing around a delicate genius here. Did you really expect us to fine him every chance we could get? We deliberately didn't fine him. We found a loophole here. And, it cost us $300,000 to keep the peace with our quarterback. That's money well spent.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, again, some of these fines that are you know, put on teams, is they're kind of ridiculous. $300,000 for these owners, these organizations, whatever. That's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Nobody will blink an eye. And it's the same thing for, you know, $14,000 for a guy that's making $36 or $37 million a year. It's nothing. It's not going to teach him any lesson.
The only lesson
he might be learning is from public backlash here right now.
If they'd hit him with every possible fine, it would have been nothing either. And I think what hurt Aaron Rodgers far more than any fine is the backlash that he absorbed almost around the clock from Friday until Tuesday. And speaking of that, he was back on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Let's hear a little bit from Aaron Rodgers, who expressed what seemed like contrition for what he had said on Friday. Here he is.
And I do realize that I am a role model to a lot of people. And so I just wanted to start off the show by acknowledging that, you know, I made some comments that, people might have felt were misleading. And, you know, to anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility for those comments. And I'm excited about feeling better. I'm excited about moving forward and hopefully getting back with my team and getting back to doing what I do best, and that's playing ball.
It definitely was tested, you know, by some of the comments that I heard and saw. I'm human. I mean, you know, stuff can definitely hurt your feelings. But, look, I shared an opinion that is polarizing. I get it. And I misled some people about my status, which I take full responsibility of, those comments. But in the end, I have to stay true to who I am and what I'm about. And I stand behind the things that I said. And I, you know, have a ton of empathy for people who have been going through the worst part of this pandemic, which has affected all of us in different ways. But so many people, you know, like I said, with lives that were lost, lives that were forever changed. And I have a ton of compassion and empathy for those people.
Okay. I think Aaron Rodgers hired himself a pretty good PR firm between Friday and Tuesday, frankly. Now that I've had time to listen to all of it, I listened to a lot of it live. I listened to all of it last night. He hired somebody to tell him what to say, to tell him how to, you know, because he went into that mess without assistance because he's smartest guy in the room. On Friday, he just did what he thought he should do and say what he thought he should say to make this all go away. And he was pissed off that he was being criticized for being positive and lying about his status. I think he dropped a lot more than $14,650 on a PR specialist to tell him what he needed to say. And if you look closely at what he said, you know, he kind of apologizes, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He kind of takes responsibility, but he doesn't. He ultimately says, I stand by what I said. So what are you really apologizing for? I apologize for anyone who disagrees with what I said because I stand by it.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, what part of it, I guess, is like, you know, again, I stand by it. Well, that's what you should have done from the start. Like, stand by it. Like, again, you're smart. It's okay. Yeah, there's going to be some people that would have judged you, but, like, you know, there's a lot of people that understand the logic of people not wanting to be unvaccinated. There is. So I don't know why he didn't stand by it from the beginning. And then, you know, he said some good things on the Friday press conference, but he also said, like, two or three, maybe four things. I got to remember and go back and, like, look at it again that were just categorically false, not true, scientifically not true. So you stand by those two? That's where, you know, I guess it's a little confusing. And yeah, I would think, Mike, to your point, somebody helped him out. You know, I mean, a lot of these, whoever his agent is, I'm sure they have somebody along these lines or somebody they can call up to kind of help out.
I think his fiance got involved in this one.
Well,
I think
maybe
Hollywood got involved.
I think
Hollywood crisis management. Let me say it. When that report showed up in People magazine on Monday night, yeah. He's being injected into a different stratosphere now of stardom. And I think he got himself a Hollywood crisis management expert, not just whoever his football agent happened to know from, you know, the last time some guy got in trouble and was sued or arrested or whatever. I think this was high level, big time. I got a lot of poop on my shoe, and I need somebody who is very skilled at helping me scrape all of it off. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I don't doubt that. I mean, you're right. The thing I thought about was the People magazine. When I saw that there, that's where I went, whoa, this has gone to a different level as well. And yeah, you know, maybe his Hollywood fiance certainly got involved, or maybe they called some people there. I don't know. But yeah, he's trying to, you know, limit the damage of his reputation a little bit. It's taken a hit for sure. You know, and again, I think the funniest thing to me, I feel like when I look on social media, when I look on your articles in Pro Football Talk, I think the thing that jumps out to me more than anything is how many negative responses there are from Green Bay people, Green Bay fans. I think that's the thing that jumps out to me more than anything. I get the sense that, like, reading that stuff and just looking through it, and, you know, I like to scroll comments and, How many times do you see, I'm a Green Bay fan, but I'm sick of him. I'm a Green Bay fan. It's always something. I'm a Green Bay fan. He's a diva. That's where I'm a little surprised by the backlash. Well, I feel like it's pretty strong there, too.
Yeah, but he really has benefited from a political element that supports him and that is going full bore on the what about nonsense. What about Henry Ruggs? There was a graphic on Fox News yesterday. What about Henry Ruggs? What about Deshaun Watson? What about Tyreek Hill? Like, folks, do you understand how the news works? The most popular members, the most high-profile members of a given sport attract a lot of attention for anything and everything that they do. Henry Ruggs hadn't done anything as an NFL player. He was not a star player. And his story, what happened last week, it was horrible, it was awful, but the story itself subsides fairly quickly because there are no developments. If he goes on Pat McAfee's show for 45 minutes and defends himself and says a lot of controversial things, we're going to be talking about what Henry Ruggs had to say. Aaron Rodgers is in a story that continues to generate more developments, and he's the reigning MVP, and the story continues to have legs. That's why people are talking about it. It's not, you know, and we do have the capacity to be equally troubled by multiple things. But there's no Deshaun Watson developments now. There's no Henry Ruggs developments currently. And the Tyreek Hill stuff is from years ago, and we said our piece at the time.
Yes.
With Aaron Rodgers, there's developments.
What?
There's news.
Right.
There's events. That's why people are talking about it so much.
Yeah, 100%. I don't understand that. It is the new thing. What about I want to change the subject and I'm going to give you something else so I don't have to talk too seriously about this subject. So I'm going to change it and say just what about, because it doesn't seem. It's not apples to apples. Screw off with what about. Like, screw off. It's not apples to apples.
But it is a way to change the subject.
It's
and to
constant.
It doesn't just change the subject. It lessens the behavior that you want to defend. If you can't defend it completely, you invoke someone else who did something as bad or worse. And hell yes, what Henry Ruggs did was a million times worse, 10 million times worse, 100 million times worse than what Aaron Rodgers did. But again, he's Henry Ruggs. Hey, he was a first-round draft pick, but he hadn't done squat, relatively speaking, with the Raiders. This is the reigning MVP, and he injected himself into the controversy. He appeared for 45 minutes last week with Pat McAfee. He appeared again. There are investigations. There are fines now. There are all sorts of angles and developments. That's, you know, people say, why'd you, oh, there's another tweet about Aaron Rodgers. Well, there's another development. What am I supposed to do, ignore it? That's how it works. News happens. We discuss it, and then we wait for the next news to happen. And it happens, and we discuss it. And when there are developments with Henry Ruggs, we'll discuss them. There have been developments, it seems like, you know, five times a day with Aaron Rodgers for the last week. So that stuff's just irritating. Let's focus on more of yesterday's developments, more from Aaron Rodgers. Here he is on Dr. Joe Rogan, as Pat McAfee termed him, and also whether or not Aaron Rodgers was paying attention to all the things people were saying about him.
People that know me know this is true. I'm not spending time reading things that are out there. I know that there's a lot of stuff out there. I know there's been a lot of comments said. I understand that this issue in general is very charging to a lot of people because we're talking about public health, and I totally respect that. I made a decision that was in the best interest based on consulting with my doctors, and I understand that not everybody's going to understand that necessarily, but I respect everybody's opinion. Go ahead. You got a question?
Yeah, the doctors that you consulted with, Dr. Joe Rogan and which other doctors?
Look, I have a lot of admiration for Joe. I definitely talked with about a dozen friends of mine who dealt with COVID, and they all were very helpful in different ways, Joe being one of them. But again, that's the society we're in. Again, I have no judgment. This is, you know, hate is not going to bring us out of this pandemic. It's going to be connecting and love. And I'm not going to hate on anybody that has said things about me. I believe everybody is entitled to their opinion.
He's not going to hate on anybody who said things about him. Do you believe that? Do you believe he doesn't read the comments? Do you believe anything he just said?
Not really.
And by the way, McAfee, you know, people are like, oh, McAfee really stuck it to him by saying Dr. Joe Rogan. It was a joke. He was making light of it. They laughed about it. He wasn't being confrontational with Aaron Rodgers. But he asked him, what doctors you talk to? I've talked to 12 friends of mine, Joe being one of them. He never identified any doctors he's spoken to. So somebody earned their money. Somebody earned their money telling him what to say yesterday.
Listen, he already said that he was tested by some of the comments. So he has seen it. That would be the first challenge flag I would throw there. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't necessarily say you respect the pandemic and the public health and all that when you've kind of egregiously just crapped on it on a daily basis. You can't say that. You got your beliefs. That's okay. I understand that. I certainly have people in my life that, you know, are not vaccinated and have their beliefs as well. I get that. I do. But I don't see them like egregiously breaking rules either. Like if there says something about wearing a mask going into a store, they wear the mask. They don't just go, no, I don't believe that. Screw your rule. I'll do what I want. And that's what we have here. And listen, it hurts me. You know, I love Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers, not only because I think he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play, but I've always loved the fact that he's been so honest about everything and owns everything. He really is great. To me, he's one of the best interviews there are in all the sports. After a game with Michelle Tafoya, some of the things he says there, you know, in the press conferences, what he did earlier this summer to open up all the questions about everything when he came back. Amazing. That's why I love him. I think that's why I'm hurt. It's like, that's where I'm a little hurt with that. It's like almost, you know, I don't even mean to go there. It's like Brady with Deflategate. I know there's some things there, but I was hurt by that. I want to go, why did you take air out of the football? You didn't need to do that. You're Tom Brady. You're awesome. And that's kind of how I feel with this one. It's just like, you're Aaron Rodgers. Own it. You're smart. You'll be able to give people some good arguments and discussion here. And I guess that's where, you know, it hurts me as him being one of my idols.
Well, does it affect your ability and your willingness to accept what he says at face value going forward on any subject where there would be possibly a reason for him to be less than
a little bit, no doubt about it. Yeah, I don't know how you can't, you know, when you make that type of comment or do, you know, some of the things he's done all this past week. Yeah, it's certainly going to always be in the back of my brain now from here on out. And I think that's what kind of stinks.
It could be. And I'm going to have to go back and study the interviews.
Yeah.
It could be that fake country accent Aaron Rodgers is the guy who's actually telling the truth. And when he's not using fake country accent that just comes up out of nowhere, unannounced, that's when he's not telling the truth. That could be the ultimate human lie detector test for Aaron Rodgers. Fake country accent, truth. Normal speaking voice, lying. Because it was normal speaking voice last Friday. All right. In some seriousness, here's Aaron Rodgers on the important question of whether we will see him on the field on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks.
I think there's a possibility, but a small possibility.
Was that because of you health-wise, body-wise, or preparation-wise?
I just didn't believe that there's a health hurdle that I have to, you know, as far as like movement and sweating and getting into it, making sure that my body is, especially your heart is fine with the physical exertion.
Yeah, look, so it's not a 100% certainty that he's going to play. And Chandler Jones missed a game with COVID, missed the second game because of the effects of COVID, lost 15 pounds. So, you know, he's got to be able to show that he can go out and perform. We assume that mentally he'll be able to go out and diagnose a defense, a depleted Seattle defense, and, you know, do the things that he does, throwing off his back foot, flick of the wrist, whatnot. But you're still out there playing football. You're exerting yourself. And they need to be certain that his body can properly handle it. And remember, earlier this week, Matt LaFleur, the coach of the team, suggested that we may see both quarterbacks on Sunday. That may have been messing with the Seahawks a little bit, or maybe we will. Maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't play the entire game, and maybe we do see some Jordan Love. We'll just have to watch him find out.
Yeah, we will. I mean, again, yeah, it's hey, if Jordan Love's playing, Seattle's got a chance to win the football game. I mean, 100%. I mean, again, from what I saw last week, watching film with the Chiefs game, the way Jordan Love played, yeah, I mean, it's certainly dicey. You know, there is certainly a much, much better team with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. They don't lose 13-7 in Kansas City if he's playing quarterback, as we discussed yesterday. And the other thing I can't help but to think about a little bit is, like, I mean, again, it's kind of like biting your, you know, nose to spite your face or whatever they say there. But, like, would he, you know, again, the team, he's not happy with the organization. Maybe he's not going to rush back. Maybe he's going to be like, I'll take my time. I don't know. That's just kind of what I thought of when he was talking there. What do you want to say?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you would actually go about biting your own nose.
Yes, I didn't mean to say bite. That's
right. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yes, exactly.
Biting your own nose.
Man, be a tough one. You got to have a pretty special mouth to do that. Yes.
How would somebody drop me onto my own head? It reminds me of one of the great moments from Bad Santa, but you can't bite off your own nose. Someone else could bite off your nose. Maybe that's what you were thinking. But it's cut off your nose to spite your face. Okay, let's take a break. I'm trying to think of a good segue, but I'm not even going to try. Odell Beckham Jr. is a free agent. We'll discuss what happens next for OBJ when PFT Live returns. Did he bite off his nose to spite his face?
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Now let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Season 18, episode 19 of SNL, available on Peacock. Wait until this show is over before watching it, but all of the classic and latest episodes of SNL available on Peacock. I'll watch it on Sunday morning while working out. I squeeze in my workout before it's time for our meeting. I just get away from everything, get a good sweat in, burn off in advance some of the calories I'll be ingesting throughout the course of the day while watching football. But if there was a new SNL, and it's great on Peacock, if you have the plan with no ads, you watch the whole show in an hour, no commercials. It's great. It's awesome. So anyway. Or you can watch the old ones if you want to, including Chris Farley as Matt Foley, motivational speaker living in a van down by the river. Okay, Odell Beckham Jr., no longer down by the river in Cleveland, looking for a new home, which may or may not contain a river or some other body of water. He's cleared waivers. He's a free agent. And that happened yesterday at 4 o'clock Eastern. Chris, I'm a little surprised. I was talking to somebody about this last night. I'm a little surprised there wasn't a land rush for OBJ. We've known now for a week that this was coming. We knew as of Friday he was going to be waived. As of Monday, he was officially waived. And I know we had to wait for him to clear waivers, but come on, who really complies with the tampering rules? Surely interested teams had reached out to his agents. Surely there had been some discussions about hypothetical contracts that hypothetically would be available to hypothetical football players who were hypothetically going to be placed on waivers.
Sure.
The fact that somebody didn't chase him down and sign him at 4:01 p.m. Eastern yesterday, it's a little bit odd.
Yeah, I hear you. I do. I mean, but I don't think it's that odd when you really kind of consider everything that's around Odell Beckham Jr. He doesn't have the greatest reputation. I don't, you know, I think the money plays into the situation as well. And within that, okay, reputation, money, and you're not going to claim a guy who already has a reputation for, you know, if he's not happy, he's going to get his way out of town and like think, oh, well, he'll be happy here and, you know, we're not that good, but hopefully he'll like it here. You know, I think that's why he goes unclaimed more than anything. You know, he had some power in this situation, and I'm sure maybe if there was a team that was thinking about claiming or whatever, to your point with the tampering and people talking, I bet you the agent was like, "I you shouldn't claim him. He's not going to be happy there. That's not going to be a good thing." So I'm sure they let out some warning signs here as well to kind of let it be known to where his viewpoint or at least mentality is going into this whole process.
Well, and again, we've got two different issues here. We've got potentially claiming on waivers.
Yeah.
And we've got lining up the potential free agent contract if he's not claimed on waivers. And let's be realistic about it. Those conversations happen all the time. It's unenforceable. They're, you know, unless somebody does something ridiculously stupid and flat out admits it publicly, they're not going to get punished for it. I'm just surprised that there wasn't something lined up for the moment he cleared waivers. Or, you know, an hour or two after that. All we've heard since he became a free agent was the Patriots have been in touch with Odell Beckham Jr.'s camp, which could be the kiss of death because you know how the Patriots are. If word gets out,
yeah,
we're out.
Right.
Now, unless the Patriots leaked it as a trial balloon to see how people would react, which they ordinarily don't care about. If this is coming directly or indirectly from the Odell Beckham Jr. camp, that's his litmus test, and he failed it. He failed his first test. Keep your mouth shut about our business. So the mere fact that that's out there, depending upon who it came from, if it came from the Patriots, no big deal. If it came from Beckham's camp, that could be the thing that gets the Patriots to run the other way. But that's all we've seen since yesterday at 4 o'clock Eastern. And is it fair for Beckham? I think it is. I'm curious about your opinion. Is it fair for him to want to know, how will you use me? What will my role be? How often will I get the football? You know, the things that were problems in Cleveland, do you want to know? Is it fair to know? Are you being presumptuous? Are you not staying in your lane that your job actually, your job if he becomes a Patriot? If you ask Bill Belichick, how am I going to be used? How am I going to be incorporated? How often am I going to see the football? Because I believe if I have the football in my hands more often, I'm going to help you win games.
Yeah, I think it's fair to ask like questions like that. I do. And I would think that's like at the forefront of his brain here. You know, again, the way it ended with the Giants, the way it went with Cleveland, I'm sure that's why he's going to be careful about where he goes here. He's got to set himself up a little bit here to have some success and kind of jumpstart his career going back in the right way. Now, I mean, is he going to make demands within those conversations? No, but I would think that he'd want to hear kind of, hey, what's your plan? How are you going to use me? Honestly, I would think for the teams that want him, he's not even going to have to say those things. They're going to use that as like their, you know, selling points right off the bat to do that. I will say this, though, off of those and like everything you've said so far, you know, I'm surprised we haven't heard more rumors about teams. I am. And I think that goes back to a little bit of the reputation that, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. has with and around the league. You know, some people think he is a total, you know, piece of crap. Other people like him and think, hey, man, I'd love to get him here. He's got so much talent. But I am surprised we haven't heard a little bit more rumors, you know, from the powers that be around the NFL and who follow this stuff, of like maybe more teams clamoring for him, I should say. That has been surprising to me that we got to, you know, the weekend, it was the Saints. You know, yesterday I thought for sure we'd hear, you know, more and more. And I know the Seahawks were somewhat in the conversation as well, but I thought yesterday we'd come out and like, you know, waivers, clears waivers, and then we go through an hour and a half later where we hear like Odell Beckham Jr. has narrowed it down to these four teams. That's really how I envision it kind of happening. And the fact that it's kind of crickets, I don't know. I guess is a little concerning to me if I'm an Odell Beckham Jr.'s camp or if I'm a fan of his.
Well, Chris, the Seahawks are clearly in it because of the way Pete Carroll handled it on Monday. And I had already heard that the Seahawks are a team to watch, and his preference was the Seahawks. And people were like, well, why would it be Seattle? We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
You got Russell Wilson, and maybe Pete Carroll's had some sort of epiphany where they're going to be throwing the ball all over the place now that he has Russell back after getting a glimpse of what life would be like without Russell Wilson as his starting quarterback. The Saints have to be considered as a team that's in it because they talked to the Browns about trading for the guy. They don't have Michael Thomas. Now, is he going to be happy with Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill throwing him the football? I don't know, but at least they'll be throwing him the football.
That's right. They will.
And I can't help but wonder whether he wants a relationship where he can be the dominant figure. It's a young quarterback. It's a quarterback who won't be headstrong like Baker Mayfield. It's a quarterback who will stare down Odell Beckham Jr. and throw him the football. I don't know if that's, you know, directly or indirectly or subtly or maybe even subconsciously what he's looking for, but it's surprising, as you said, that we don't know who the finalists are. It's surprising that we don't have a pretty good idea of where he's going to land, of where he's even going to visit. And if he's vaccinated, he can visit anywhere. It's not like last year. So I just am surprised it's not moving more quickly. Let me ask you about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to have issues if he goes to New England because he's going to have to check his individuality at the door. And he's done a good job of suppressing who he is the past few years in Cleveland.
Right.
But I wonder if he really understands what it means to be part of the Patriot way.
Yeah, right.
And whether he will assimilate into the Patriot way the way that others have, or whether it'll go like Chad Ochocinco, who I think struggled in New England in large part because when you prevent him from being who he is,
100%,
he can't perform the way that he is accustomed to performing.
Agreed. I mean, I was there a little bit to witness that. And, you know, I think it was the environment was in his head. He couldn't be who he wanted to be, let alone, you know, we've talked about before, the offense is fairly complex and there was a lot of rules. So it was like a double whammy of like, you know, locking up the physical ability mentally and physically there a little bit. No, I mean, it could go either way. You know, again, that's the thing that I find interesting about New England. You know, hey, did we know if Randy Moss was going to work there? Well, it did. And Randy Moss, I could tell you, he's told me many a time, this was his favorite time in football. He loved playing in New England. He loved how they, like, you know, were all in all the time. And that's how Randy was. Odell, I think, is like that to a degree. You know, he's got to be careful about how he acts at his next stop, or he's going to find himself on the way out of the league a little bit. He's got to be careful about that. And sometimes people thrive under that. You know, it's so strict, here's football, that it kind of like can almost take the pressure off for you to be like, okay, I'm just part of the machine here. Let's just enjoy the ride. You know, like, hey, they got a guy on their team right now, right? And Trent Brown, you know, his 49ers, oh, get him out of here. We don't want him. The Raiders, oh, get him out of here. We don't want him. And he tells you, like, man, I'm so happy to be back in New England. There's something about the structure and the way they do things that just makes me feel comfortable. So, you know, again, I think at base level, I look at it and I go, ooh, yeah, I don't know if it'll work either, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did, you know, and I know it didn't go great with the New York Giants, but the New York Giants are one of the older, traditional, you know, semi more strict teams than maybe some of the other ones around the NFL, and he has had a little taste of that. I do think, you know, he has the possibility of making it work there in New England.
He was constantly, though, an issue in New York. Not every week, but there were many incidents.
Towards the end,
and
it was
issues,
a lot, right.
And it just got to the point where he resented what they were trying to do, and they got sick of dealing with him. They signed a big contract. 6 months later, they trade him. There's no middle ground in New England. It's either going to work like it did for Moss,
right,
or it's not going to work like it didn't work for Chad Ochocinco. There's not going to be a, yeah, it's kind of working. Yeah, it's kind of okay. Yeah, we kind of have an understanding. He's either going to take to the Patriot way, or he's going to hate the Patriot way if he ends up in New England. But we'll see how it all plays out. And I think with each passing hour that a favorite doesn't emerge, that a list doesn't emerge, that some clarity doesn't emerge, it just makes you wonder, what in the world is going on, because we've known for a week now he was going to be available.
Yeah, no, I know. It does. It does make you wonder. You know, I'm sure he's being pretty picky and choosy about it. You know, again, the Seattle conversation. I mean, and listen, if I was advising him, I'd go, don't go to Seattle. Don't go there. You know, and maybe he's realized that to a degree.
Where would you tell him to go?
I wanted to bounce off like something you said. Like, to me, he needs to go to somewhere where the quarterback is established and the guy, and will not feel the pressure of like, oh, I got to get the Odell the ball, and I'll know when to, okay, it's even, I'll throw it to Odell because now I'm going to try to get him the ball, but I don't feel pressure to do it. That's why, like, the Bradys and the Rodgers and those guys, I think, could handle him and it would be fine. I would tell him to go to Green Bay, you know, or I'd like to tell Green Bay, like, why don't you make a play for Odell Beckham Jr.? Again, Green Bay, really good team. I know that. But they're not going to get to the Super Bowl hoping Rondell Moore drops a punt or drops a screen pass and gives us a 12-play drive for a touchdown. Like, they need to have some guys that make some plays. And to me, it's like they're, like we've talked about before, they're such a execution, we're going to play this game and wait for you to mess up, and we'll score another point, you know, another touchdown there, and when you mess up, and now you're kind of behind the eight ball and behind us, and we got control of the game. It's not going to work in the playoffs. You know, schemes and execution are great, but at the end of the day, in the playoffs, the Jimmys and the Joes got to make some plays. They in a lot of ways, out-executed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. I mean, Brady almost had an epic meltdown. Didn't matter. You know why? Because they had way more players on their team than Green Bay. And Green Bay, if they don't play it just about perfect, they can't win those type of games. So I would say Green Bay would be one I'd look at. And then the other one that I don't understand, and I think, like, you know, is Buffalo. Buffalo, they got nothing. It's Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, and that is it. There's nothing else. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl with that combination. They're not. You know, the offense has not been as good as what people think. You know, I challenge people to go back and watch some of the games where they scored 35 and 42 points. Watch the Houston Texans game when they won 40-0. It wasn't a great offensive showing. It was like 3-0 and 10-0 almost midway through the second quarter. Davis Mills kept throwing interceptions. They kept getting short fields and easy touchdowns. It wasn't because the offense was like the greatest show on turf, or the 2018, you know, Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't that. You know, same thing though. They had the Washington game, the Dolphins game. They have issues. So that would be another one I would look at there. And I know people go, well, they got Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley. Emmanuel Sanders is in year 12 and he's on his third team in 3 years. There's a reason for that. Cole Beasley is a nice third or fourth receiver. That's it. They need something else too. So those are two. Sorry, I got passionate about it there, but that's where I'd like to see him end up.
Well, and look, it depends on who wants him, where he wants to go. And Chris, there was a report just before the show that the Buccaneers signed Rashad Perriman to the practice squad, which is an indication that Antonio Brown's ankle is messed up.
It sounds like
They felt like they needed another body, right? And I joked last week, half-jokingly,
right,
Tommy, Odell, put him on the practice squad, let him show what he can do, and maybe get called up to the roster after a couple of weeks of showing what you can do, and Tommy gets number 8, Beckham gets what he covets. He wants to be part of a winner. And I think the attraction to New England back in 2019 was the presence of Brady.
Of course, yeah.
Brady's a lot more, I mean, New England's a lot more attractive with Brady there. The fact that the Buccaneers went straight for Rashad Perriman, there's been no reporting that there was any conversation internally, externally, or in any way, shape, or form regarding the possibility of adding Odell Beckham Jr. But if there wasn't, or if they just decided, nah, he's not for us, if Tom Brady's like, nah, you know, I'm not going to stand on the table for this guy, it becomes telling, I think. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I still say watch the Saints because they tried to trade for him.
Yeah.
Watch the Seahawks because of what Pete Carroll said Monday and because of what we'd been hearing.
Right.
What do you think about your 49ers? Is it a lost cause in San Francisco?
I don't think it's a lost cause. I mean, I think there's some things to be concerned about, definitely. But I don't think it's a lost cause. I mean, first off, I think when you look at the NFC, you know, again, Atlanta's the number seven seed at 4-4. I mean, so to me, there's still wide open spot there. I don't look at Atlanta as a playoff football team. I got a lot of respect for how they played, and they've gutted out some tough wins, no doubt about that. But I just look at Atlanta, Carolina, Minnesota, Seattle, and then San Francisco, and I still look at it and go, San Francisco's more talented than all those teams that we just mentioned there. You know, San Francisco's got a little bit of that bug right now where they just I don't want to say it's Kansas City-ish, but they just can't help but to mess up the game themselves. They can't help it. It's every week. You know, that last week, oh, it's George Kittle. He's wide open down the middle. Here we go. He fumbles. They're driving down to score a touchdown. It's 14-0. They throw to a wide open Brandon Ayuk down the middle of the field. He falls on the ground. He gets up at the 3-yard line. Somebody hits him. He fumbles. They can't get out of their own way. I still think, of course, that they're, you know, got a really well-coached offense.
So are they in it? Are they in it or not? After 5 minutes later, are they in it or not?
Like with the oh, you're talking about with Odell? I don't know.
I'm talking about Odell Beckham. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying,
I just go by the reports. I don't know.
I just didn't throw out what about the 49ers. Let's have a conversation about the 49ers. Well, it was the 49ers. Are they sufficiently in contention to be a viable place for Odell Beckham Jr.? And do you think they want them? Yes or no?
I would think so. Yes, I would think so.
Wow.
You know, I don't know right now. I don't know that. Do I know that Kyle Shanahan has made comments to me 3 years ago that Odell Beckham Jr. is amazing? Yes, he did. But everybody in football would have said that. So, you know, I don't know. I know everybody thinks I know about San Francisco. People are crazy if you think Kyle Shanahan has told me what they're going to do in an Odell Beckham situation. But they were one of those teams on that short list that we originally heard about. You know, that there was interest there. And I think it does make sense. And, of course, you know, they could probably use another weapon, too, with, you know, their run game maybe not being as dominant as years past.
I still think there are times where that KS tattoo throbs like the lightning bolt scar on Harry Potter's.
I'm going to get the damn thing erased. I'm sick of talking about it.
All I know about Harry Potter. I don't bring it up very often.
No, I know. You don't.
I don't bring it up very often.
No, you don't.
We've been doing this for 4 years. At a certain point, the spleen jokes get old. The Kyle Shanahan initial tattoos get old. But you got every once in a while, it's fun to listen to the old records.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's take a break. Mid-season awards, because it's the middle of the season and, you know, everybody's going to be giving out awards. So we'll do the same when PFT Live continues right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.